Okay, please turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. The book of Genesis, chapter 4, please leave that open on your lap. The book of Genesis, chapter 4. Now, my teaching this morning is entitled Echad. The word Echad is the Hebrew word of which the English translates it as one. One. Now the word Echad, E-C-H-A-D, the word Echad occurs approximately 960 times in the Old Testament as either a noun, an adjective, or an adverb. The word is a singular ordinal number. Are you paying attention? Okay. The word Echad is a singular ordinal number. An ordinal number is a numerical value. This is where we say the word number one, right? The word one, okay? Now, from the very get-go, I'm going to say that the reason why I am sharing this with you all is to discuss the subject that is very popularly taught out there regarding who God is, the nature of God, and unfortunately, the doctrine of how many people God are or is. Okay? Now, Trinitarians claim that the word Echad is a compound one. In other words, what they're trying to tell us is that the actual word for Echad, which your English Bibles render as one, they say that the meaning of that word is a compound, is compound in meaning. They say it is a collective noun. They say that the meaning of this word Echad carries the sense of plurality in oneness. This is what they tell us. Right? Unfortunately, that is not the case. And I will share with you this morning for the next 40 minutes why it's not. Now, please note this. You must understand. I'm going to go through and teach a little bit about grammar so that you understand. But please note that in all cases where plural nouns are used, and you can check this with, you know, an English teacher, but where all cases where plural nouns are used, the plurality is derived from that plural noun and not from the ordinal number itself. Does that make sense? I'll give you examples, all right? Echad is and always will mean numerically one. Okay? Always will. Unfortunately, Trinitarians tend to transfer the meaning of the plural noun back into the ordinal number. And that is wrong. And this is unfortunately what has happened in the church when many, many ministers and teachers of Scripture want to teach on the subject or on the word Echad. Now, I'm here to teach with you a little bit about the usage of this word Echad. Number one, pay attention please. Echad can be used as a pronoun, acting as a numerical expression. Let me give you some examples. When I say the statement, one is purple, the other is green, right? That the word one there acts as a singular pronoun. Sorry, as a singular noun, okay? One is purple, the other is green, right? How many is purple? Only that one thing, okay? I can say things like this. Those are lovely scarves, I think I'll buy one, right? The plurality is in that word scarves. I said I will buy how many? One. So you see that the plurality tends to come from that noun, not from the ordinal number. Can you see what I'm saying? Okay? Now, I'm going to share with you some examples on how Echad can be used as a pronoun to indicate a numerical expression. Right? We begin reading from Genesis chapter 4. verse 19. Please read with me now. It says, then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, the name of the second was Zillah. So now, read here. The name of one, Echad, the name of one was Adah. That word there, Echad, is used grammatically in that sentence as a pronoun. It's saying that one of Lamech's wife is Adah. Right? So my question here in this verse is, how many persons was Lamech's wife Adah? One person. Would you agree with me? Because that word one there is used in as a pronoun to indicate to that person who was one of Lamech's wife. And that was Adah, and she's one person. Right? More examples. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 10. Quickly now, we've got lots of reading to do. I need you to follow and keep up with me. Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, read with me verse 25. Same language. Okay? Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, it says, now, to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. Again, that word one, Echad, is used as a pronoun to indicate one of Eber's sons. Now, how many persons was Eber's son Peleg? One person. So you see, right, that when nouns are used in a singular way, singular nouns, right, with the ordinal number, it clearly indicates one person, right? But when you use it with a plural noun, all right, certainly, right, that the plural emphasis is not derived from the ordinal number. It is derived from the plural noun. This is what I was saying earlier on, is that unfortunately, Trinitarians tend to transfer the plurality that exists in the noun back into the ordinal number, and that's wrong. You'll see further with me. Turn with me now to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16. Leviticus chapter 16. We read now from verse 8. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 8. It says, then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Now, how many lots does the Bible describe here? The Bible describes here two lots. Right? It says, one was given to the Lord, the other was given to the scapegoat. Right? Now, how many lots were given to Yahweh and the scapegoat? One. Right? One. One lot to Yahweh, one lot to the scapegoat. Right? So you see, right, how the ordinal number Echad carries with it the sense of a numerical expression. How many lots were given to both God and the scapegoat? One. Right? Now, there's no indication there that that lot, right, had plurality in it. Does that make sense? Same with Eber's son Peleg, same with Adah. There's no sense, there's no hint, right, that these people are described as having plurality within them. Right? So you see that the word Echad there is used as a numerical expression. I would go even further in that verse to say this, that if one lot was given to the scapegoat, of which we all know that that scapegoat was one goat, then how many Yahwehs, right, is there of which that lot was given? There was one Yahweh. Right? Okay, let's continue on. Turn with me to Daniel. Daniel. Daniel, please. Okay, Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. We will read now. This is the context of where Daniel is having visions. And in Daniel chapter 8 from verse 13. Daniel chapter 8, verse 13, it says, "Then I heard a holy one speaking. And another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, 'How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?'" Now we have Daniel here seeing a vision, and he said, "Then I heard a holy one speaking." Now, in the book of Daniel, holy one or holy ones refers to angels. You can pick that. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you. That's found in Daniel chapter 4, verse 13. In Daniel 4:13, it says, "I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven." Right? So that's clearly angels. Because angels were coming down from heaven to minister visions to Daniel. Okay? Now, it says here that he, Daniel, heard a holy one speaking. Right? Echad. He heard a holy one. How many angels did Daniel hear speaking to him? He says, "I heard a holy one speaking." He heard. Daniel heard a holy Echad speaking to him. How many angels did Daniel hear speaking to him? One. Right? One angel. See how the ordinal Echad, the ordinal number Echad, indicates that it was one angel. Now, when we say one angel, we do not honestly think about a plurality within those angels, do we? Okay? And then further he says, "And another holy one said to that certain one." Now, all of a sudden, you have another angel, yeah, another holy one coming to speak to the other holy one. And now you get two holy ones speaking. So you have one holy angel plus another holy angel, that equals how many holy angels? Two holy angels. You know, I mean, it's a little bit of arithmetic, but we get the picture here, right? That these are all, these echad is used here as pronouns to indicate a numerical expression when it speaks of persons, places, or things. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, second, echad can be used as an adjective, right? So we saw examples how echad can be used as a pronoun. We see now that echad in the Old Testament can be used as an adjective. What is an adjective? An adjective is something that describes a noun, right? An adjective modifies a noun, whether singular or plural nouns. For example, I'll give you an example. If I say I had one scoop of ice cream, right? It shows, right, that word one describes what I have done. I have taken one scoop of ice cream, right? Other examples, I can say things like this. I failed on one of my exams. You see, one scoop of ice cream is a singular noun, ice cream, right? It's a singular noun, ice cream. I failed on one of my exams, plural noun, exams, shows, again, that word one is used as an adjective modifying the noun, okay, to describe something about that noun. Now, let's see how echad can be used as an adjective. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. You'll see this. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, read with me quickly, verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place." We know the word ribs is a plural noun. Yet here we see that the word echad, or one, is used as an adjective to modify the noun of ribs. So we ask the question, how many ribs does the Bible describe as God taking out of Adam's side? Yeah, one rib. right? We all know the anatomy of a human body, right? Where you have the rib cage, and in that rib cage you have what? Many ribs, right? You have a plurality of ribs, right? And we see very clearly that the word echad there described the act of what God did when He took something out of this rib cage. He took out what? He took out one rib. When we think of one rib, we think of clearly a single rib. Yeah? An only rib. We think of one. There's no sense of plurality there when we speak of one rib, right? More examples. Genesis chapter 22. To show you the usage of echad as an adjective, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. This is when God spoke to Abraham about his son Isaac. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Then he said, speaking of God, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Same language as Genesis 2:21. He took out one of his ribs. Now God tells Abraham, go to one of the mountains that I shall show you. Same language. Echad being used there as an adjective. How many mountains does the Bible describe when Abraham took Isaac to be sacrificed? How many mountains? One mountain. Now, we honestly don't believe that this mountain had any hint of plurality, right? He describes the mountain as one mountain, that single mountain, right? So you see again, you know, the adjective of echad being used here. Quickly, Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We read verse 23. Numbers chapter 13, verse 23. Now, this is when the spies were sent out into the promised land. And in verse 23 of Numbers chapter 13, then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. Look what it says there. The spies went to spy out the land. It says to bring back a sign and a report. It says one of them cut down a branch with one cluster or one branch of grapes. So, you know, you're sort of holding a branch and there's a bunch of grapes at the end, right? And you see there, the word one, there's a echad, right? Used as an adjective to describe now. To describe what? My question is, how many clusters does the Bible describe as the spies having cut? How many clusters did they cut? How many branches? They broke one branch of grapes. So you see that the plural noun grapes there, but with a singular noun cluster, or one cluster. So you see that that branch was clearly a single branch. It was clearly a single branch. Okay? So, you know, it's very unwise for us to take the plurality of nouns and to transfer its meaning back into the numerical or in the ordinal number, echad. That's wrong. Okay? Turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 24. We'll read from verse 23 so we can understand. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Wow, it's a wonderful little passage here, you know. But let's look at this. You know, the people were saying, well, hold on. this promised land was given to us as inheritance. It's ours. We need to go in and possess it. And they're pointing back to Abraham as the source of their promise. All the promises were given to Abraham regarding inheritance. He says, and they're saying, that, well, the people are saying that, well, Abraham was echad. Abraham was one and he inherited. We are many. Look at the comparison here. Abraham was echad. Abraham was one. Right? The word echad there being used as an adjective to describe whom? How many persons does the Bible describe Abraham as being? One person. True? Abraham was one. Abraham was one person. We don't honestly think that there was a plurality within this person Abraham, do we? Right? He was one. Because further on he compares this one person Abraham with the many who thought that we can go in and inherit the land. He says, we are many, but Abraham was one. And when we read these things, we understand in our minds that Abraham was echad, one person. Alright, continue on. Now, point three, echad can also be used as a determiner. What is a determiner? Okay, before a proper noun. A determiner is when you put something before a noun in order to highlight and bring emphasis to the noun. It determines what the noun is about. For example, when I say the following examples, one person, one coin, that word there, one, determines the noun in view. True? When I say one person to you, how many persons do you think of? That word one determines the noun in view. One person, one coin, singular nouns. But when I use it with a plural noun, and I say one family, right? When I say one crowd, what do you think of in your mind? Right? You think of a plurality there within that noun, one family. Well, how many are in the family? It could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20. When you think of one crowd, what do you think of? Any kind of plural number, right? But obviously, that plurality is derived from the noun, not from the ordinal number. Does that make sense? Right? Well, let's have a look now how the word echad can be used as a determiner before a proper noun. We see it in the Bible. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We begin our reading now from verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 11. It says, Solomon writes, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Echad, yeah, one, is used here as a determiner before the proper noun, shepherd, right? What was Solomon saying? He's saying, where does the source of wisdom come from? This is really, in essence, what the verse is trying to say, is that the source of all wise words and the words of scholars come from one shepherd, from Echad, from the one shepherd. Now, who is the shepherd in view here? Well, you don't need to turn there, but in Psalm chapter 80, verse 1, the psalmist says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, and you who dwell between the cherubim. Who dwells between the cherubim? Well, according to the Old Testament, it was God Himself. Remember Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, he sees the vision. He sees Yahweh God, the Lord of hosts, dwelling between the cherubim. So in the psalmist, in Psalm 80 verse 1, calls Yahweh God the one who dwells between the cherubim. He calls Him the shepherd of Israel, of which Solomon also calls Him the shepherd. And here Solomon says that the source of all wisdom comes from the one shepherd, from the echad, from the one shepherd. So, How many persons is the shepherd in Ecclesiastes 12:11? Right? When you think of one shepherd in your mind, what do you think of? If you were to see a flock of sheep passing by with one shepherd, you would see that one shepherd and go, well, that's one person. True? Why is it any different with Yahweh God? Why is it any different with God Almighty, who is called the Shepherd of Israel? Here he's called one shepherd. Yeah? One shepherd. The word echad being used as a determiner before the noun, to determine to you and I, to emphasize and highlight the noun in view. He's one. Right? So I say that God is a one person God. One shepherd, one person God. Let's see this further. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We should all know this by now, or even off by heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This is what we've come all to know as the Shema, the creed of Israel. The Jews took this creed and pretty much made it the most important commandment in their Judaic faith. Do you remember in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12 when the scribe comes up to Jesus and says, which is the first commandment of all? Really, in the Greek, in other words, should say, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the all-encompassing, all-important commandment to our Judaic faith? He came to test Jesus, but Jesus passed the test. He answered correctly. He pointed them to Deuteronomy 6:4 in the Shema. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Right? This, to a Jew, is considered the greatest of all commandments. Right? In the Hebrew, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Ehad. Right? So, see where you see Lord all capitals? The Lord all capital in the Hebrew is the sacred name of God. YHWH, Yahweh. Right? That is the sacred name of God. So, really, what Moses is writing here is this. Yahweh our God, Yahweh, which is the name of God, is one. Yahweh is one, is essentially what Moses is saying here. In Young's literal translation, I'll read it to you in another translation. Young's literal translation renders this verse the following. "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah." Hear that one? Yahweh our God is one Yahweh. Right? You see now the word echad being used as a determiner before the noun. So the question beckons now to ask, how many Yahwehs is God? One. So really, we're asking the question, how many persons is Yahweh God? One person, according to this. Right? Let's look at this carefully a little bit. I want to spend a little bit more time on this verse. Because this verse, unfortunately, is where all the contention has surrounded. This is where all the controversy is around this verse. Pay attention. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You have Lord, all capitals, rendered twice in this verse. You have God rendered once in this verse. All three of these words are nouns. What kind of nouns are they, though? Are they nouns that point to a person, place, or thing? What do we view of these nouns? Are these nouns places? No. Are these nouns things? No. Are these nouns referring to persons? Okay, so these nouns refer to persons, right? Clearly we're speaking about a God who has personality, who has consciousness, who has feelings, who can speak, who does things. We're speaking about person or persons, right? This is what we're trying to establish what the nouns are, okay? Now these nouns clearly highlight who God is, not what God is. Did you get that with me? If the nouns, Lord and God, refer to who, then clearly what Moses was writing emphasizes that God is one person. If the nouns, though, that are used in this verse indicate what God is, then clearly I stand today in error. Right? Why do I say this? Because Trinitarians claim that this verse has to do with what God is. That God is one, not who He is, three persons. Did you get that with me? They claim that God is one, He's one what in three who's. Three persons, three who's, in the one what, in the one God. If these nouns in this verse have to do with what, then I am in error. I am. If these nouns, though, have to do with who, then Trinitarians are wrong. True? And this is my challenge now to everybody. The Bible claims, though, that these verses have to do with who God is. Right? Why would Moses then write in Exodus 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me"? Me is a pronoun pointing back to a person. You shall have no other gods before me, Yahweh says. So when he says that the Lord our God is one, clearly those nouns refer to personal persons. Therefore, the word echad determines that Yahweh God is one person. What's really sad is, you know, I actually read this in an article by one Trinitarian minister who actually rendered Deuteronomy 6:4 the following: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is oneness." Well, I'm not being comical here. That's how I heard one Trinitarian minister write this verse, that the Lord is oneness. It is tragic to hear such distortion of Scripture. That is absolute perversion of the text. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. I want to show you more examples of how echad is used as a determined number for a proper noun. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Look what it says. Another wonderful passage. Malachi 2:10. "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers?" Here we see the word echad being used as a determiner before both nouns of Father and God. And I ask the question here, because Malachi seems to put nouns like Father and God in the same sentence. Right? Now, we wouldn't read this sentence and say that there is a distinction here between one Father and one God. Would you interpret the verse like that? No, you wouldn't. Here, clearly, Malachi says that, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us?" He's pretty much saying that this one God is our Father, who is also our Creator. Right? That's what he's saying. The one Father, of whom obviously we see in the New Testament, Jesus speaks more of, you know, than any other person. He addresses God Almighty as His Father, right? And we see the phrase God the Father also in the New Testament 18 times, right? Here Malachi says that this one Father is the one God who is the Creator, who created all of us. So the question now beckons to ask, how many persons is the Father or is God or is the Creator? How many persons? One person. When you speak even to a Trinitarian and you ask them the question, how many persons is God the Father? What will be their answer? They'll clearly tell you one person, won't they? They will. Yet we see here that this one Father is the one God who created us. We know that God did not have a co-creator. The Father did not have a co-creator. And I can prove that if you read Mark chapter 10. We don't want to go there. Jesus addresses and ascribes the creation to God. He says, haven't you not read that He created them male and female, Mark chapter 10? If Jesus were a co-creator with His Father, He would have said, haven't you heard that we created them? Using the plural pronoun we. He doesn't. He uses the singular pronoun He created them. God the Father is the sole creator of us all. He's our Father, He's our God, He's our creator, and He's Echad, He's one. He's one person. Turn with me to Ezekiel, quickly, 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, please read with me from verse 21. Ezekiel 37 from verse 21. From verse 21 of Ezekiel 37 to verse 24. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land. On the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be over them. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with the detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then thou shalt be my people, and I'll be their God. Verse 24, David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. Let's stop here. This is perhaps one passage of scripture where the word Echad is being used like 3-4 times. For example, how many nations is Israel in verse 21? God had purpose to make them one nation again, and He compares them to how they formerly were when the kingdom was divided in the book of Kings and Chronicles. They clearly became two nations during that period. You had the 10 northern tribes. Then you had the 2 southern tribes. Right? You had 2 kingdoms, 2 nations. God says that His purposes and plans is to make them one nation, Echad. How many nations is Israel? Clearly, they're one nation. Now, when we talk about one nation, obviously you have many people in that nation. But where is the plurality derived from? From the ordinal number or from the noun? From the noun, not from the ordinal number. He goes on further to say, okay, that they shall be governed by one king, verse 22. One king shall be over them all. And now this king, verse 24, he's described as David, my servant. Now we know he's not speaking literally about David, because David, by this period, has been dead now close to 400-500 years. Right? This is prophetically speaking about the Messiah. He's speaking about Jesus, who would come as the appointed Messiah to rule as the second David over the house of Israel. Okay? How many kings was David at the time that David governed? He was clearly one person, wasn't he? When David would walk down the street and they'd see the king of Israel, they knew he was clearly one person. How many persons is the David of the New Testament, the Messiah, Jesus Christ? Clearly we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus is clearly one person. And he is David, Yahweh's servant. And it says, he shall be king over them and they shall all have one shepherd. Yeah? Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, this man, perfect human being, clearly is one person. Okay? And he is Yahweh's servant. Okay? So we see several examples here of how echad is used as a determinant before a proper noun. Let's continue on. Point four, echad can also be used as both a demonstrative or indefinite pronoun. What does this mean now? And I really need you to pay attention to this. When I give you examples like the following, one in four dentists recommend this toothpaste. Right? Listen carefully. The word one there is used with demonstrative or with a demonstrative pronoun this. When you hear words like this, that, these, they're pronouns. They can point either in a singular or in a plural sense to either one or many people. When I say one in four dentists recommends this toothpaste, it's clearly speaking that of one of the many in that view. That's a demonstrative pronoun, this, in connection with the ordinal number one. One of the many recommends this. I can say things like this. They say one in five instructors gets it wrong. Right? They is an indefinite pronoun. It speaks of many, they, but it points to one because of the ordinal number one. Right? Listen carefully. Echad can be used with either demonstrative pronouns or indefinite pronouns. Right? Now, pay attention. When echad is used in a demonstrative with a demonstrative pronoun or an indefinite pronoun, then the Bible does allow, and even English grammar even allows you to use singular words, either singular verbs or singular nouns, even though it can speak about a plurality. Right? Now, let me show you how this works as an example. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Now, this is the verse that all Trinitarians appeal to. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is the verse that pretty much any Trinitarian who would like to prove the oneness of God, that this one God has a plurality of persons, they use this verse as the example to prove that it is the same way, God is the same way as a man and a woman coming together and becoming one flesh. It's the same way, they say. As there is three persons in one God, and therefore in this plurality there's a oneness, they say we can compare this, right, to the marriage or the union of a man and woman, and they appeal to this verse. It says here that this man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You have echad there with flesh. And that word flesh is a singular noun. They say, ha-ha, that's it. I have it right there. There's my answer. Beautiful. Right? Unfortunately, they haven't realized that this word echad is being governed by an indefinite pronoun, they, which is a plural pronoun. Did you see that? They shall become. Governed by a plural pronoun and a plural verb, they shall become. Because the verse in view is about two nouns, man and woman. They, speaking, using the indefinite pronoun they, right, it's a plural, they shall become. These two shall become one flesh. So you see that that word one has no hint of plurality. The plurality comes from the indefinite pronoun they. Does that make sense? Can you see? Even though the word flesh is singular, it's a singular noun, that doesn't matter. Because it's governed by the indefinite pronoun they, which is plural. Does that make sense? Do you understand this? So if anyone asks you and appeals to this verse, say, well, have you noticed that they shall become is a plural pronoun and a plural verb? They miss that. We just concentrate on one flesh. One flesh, yes, one flesh is a singular noun. Because God's pretty much saying that the woman came out of the man. Really, in the eyes of God, they are one person, right? Even though we know literally they're not, they're two persons. Metaphorically, God is saying that He sees them as though they're one person. Because you know that the church of Jesus Christ is the body of Christ. We are His members. Yeah? So really, metaphorically speaking, God the Father views His Son and His bride as though they're one, right? In the same sense of a marriage, right? But we know very clearly, from a literal, from a metaphysical point of view, that's not the case, right? Unfortunately, Trinitarians would like to speak in metaphysical terms, and that's so wrong. I want to share with you some more examples in closing. You don't need to turn, I'll read this to you. Genesis 42:11, right? When Joseph's brother said to Joseph, "We are all one man's sons." Right? Genesis 42:13, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man." Genesis 42:13, "The youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." Echad, right? Genesis 42:16, "Send one of you and let him bring your brother." Genesis 42:16. Genesis 42:27, "But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed, he found that, you know, that copper cup." 960 times the word echad is used, always to denote a numerical expression. I don't have to go through 900 verses in order to prove and teach that one is numerically one. So in closing, what I say is this. Echad is a singular ordinal number that's the number one. Unfortunately, Trinitarians have wrongly ascribed plurality to the ordinal number, rather to the plural nouns, verbs, and adjectives that govern it. Echad will always mean numerically one. And if this were not so, according to what I've spoken today, then all 900 or so examples, whether person, place, or thing, have plurality in their oneness. Does that make sense to you? This is an absolute tragedy that this has actually affected the church for 1800 years. This was not a problem in the New Testament in the first century. This has plagued us. This has plagued the church, and over 90% of the church who are Trinitarians have succumbed to this delusion. This is delusional, folks. This is madness that we cannot count to one anymore. It's sad. It's very tragic. But the Bible teaches emphatically, over 900 times in just the Old Testament alone, of which next Sunday I'm going to show you the Greek word for one, and it's the same way. I'm going to share that next Sunday. Let's stand.